Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our daily bread. We pray that you'll help us to grow to be more like you. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Matthew 15, verse 32 to 38. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the road. The disciples replied, And where would we get enough food out here in the wilderness for all of them to eat? Jesus asked, How many loaves of bread do you have? They replied, 7 and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, broke them into pieces, and gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate until they were full. And when the scraps were picked up, there were 7 large baskets of food left over. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. The Life Application Bible Commentary has this to say about it. Differences in details distinguish this miracle from the feeding of the 5,000 described in chapter 14 of Matthew. At that time, those fed were mostly Jews. At the second miracle, Jesus ministered to a mixed crowd of Jews and Gentiles in a predominantly Gentile region. They were in the region of Tyre and Sidon. We see that in verse 21 of Matthew 15. Now, Tyre and Sidon is an area north of Galilee. Tyre and Sidon in the Old Testament came under judgment in the time of Jezebel, and in the time of Jesus, they were influenced by the pagan Greek culture, and that's where Jesus went to minister. This is different to the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14. This was 4,000 men. Of course, in Matthew 14, it was also 5,000 men. The women and children weren't counted in the number. Basically, the women were provided for by the men, and the children are impossible to count because they don't sit still long enough. So the actual total number of people is to date unknown. We know that the first feeding was 5,000 minimum, could have been anything between 5,004 and 10,000, because it said women and children, so they had at least 2 women and at least 2 children, got to be 5,004. And in the second time around, also between 4,004 and 10,000, we don't know how many women there were, we don't know how many children there were, but there were crowds. And the total number of people is just a wild guess on my part. Either way, the magnitude of the miracle was still astounding. I mean, a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread between 4,000 or 5,000 people is an astounding event. The feeding in Matthew 14 was in a predominantly Jewish area, and the feeding of the crowds in Matthew 15 was a predominantly Gentile area, being Tyre and Sidon to the north of Judea. And so it could be because of that that the disciples wondered if Jesus would repeat this kind of miracle amongst the pagans, the Gentiles. And yet you can see that Jesus was filled with compassion. Yes, he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. That was earlier in Matthew 15. But he was also sent to the lost and hurting in the entire world. John 3:16 does say, For God so loved the world, that's everybody. So we digress to the woman earlier in the chapter. Jesus, when he said that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, he was actually highlighting the woman's faith, because she was obviously aware of the Jewish culture, knowing about Jesus being the son of David and stuff like that. The fact is, she knew about the Jewish history, the Jewish culture. So when Jesus helped the woman with a demon-possessed child, she was Phoenician, and this is the area of Phoenicia where Tyre and Sidon were. And Jesus was highlighting the fact that he came to save the Jews and the Gentiles. He was bringing out the fact that, yes, she was a Gentile, but the fact remains that he was there to seek and save the lost and hurting throughout the entire world. He said he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel to to draw out her faith so that it could be highlighted and so that people could learn from it, because it's in our Bible and we can learn from it. Back to today's scripture. The feeding of these crowds was in Phoenicia, north of the Jewish area. And sometimes we forget God's provision for us in the past. When we face a difficult situation, it's good to remember what God has done for you already, and that will help you to trust Him to take care of you again. This is why we say, count your many blessings. This is why we focus on being grateful and thanking God for what He has done, so it can remind us how good God has been to us, and that He will come through again in similar or even different or worse or not so bad situations. So again, a few loaves and a few fish were distributed amongst thousands of people. And one thing that strikes me about the difference between the leftovers of the first time and the second time, the first time there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, it could be that people, the first time it happened, didn't know what to expect because it never happened before. And so they just took like two or three pieces of bread and two or three fish so that they could have enough. And that's why there was so much left over. This time, they, some of them at least, would have maybe been in the previous crowd. And they said, don't worry about it. There'll be plenty. You can go back for seconds. So they only took one piece of fish each or one piece of bread each. And then when they went back for seconds, they just took one more piece each. And that's why there was less left over. And Jesus wanted that collected so that there was no waste and no littering. I hate litter, personally. So every time God comes through for us in a dangerous or difficult or testing situation, then we can almost notch that up as another victory from God on our behalf. And that will encourage us in future situations, whether similar or different, but in future testing situations, future difficult situations, we can think back to the way God has come through for us in the past, and we will be encouraged to trust Him yet again, one more time, to come through for us, to look after us, to protect us, to provide for us, to help us, to hold us in the palm of His hands. Our Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And the Old Testament was what the early church referred to as scripture, and therefore it is just as valid for us today as it was for them in the time of the early church. And just in case you thought it was a once-off, it appears again in Joshua 1 verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Finally, let me encourage you to take heart, as Jesus Himself said in John 16 verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So, shine your light.